We're going to continue. A couple weeks ago, I began, looked at the first few verses of this psalm, and we're going to continue and look at the remainder of it this morning, but I want to read just one verse, just the last verse as we begin. Psalm 31 and verse 24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Verse 24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Let's pray as we begin. Lord, I pray as we look at your word today that your Holy Spirit would do his work in our hearts and our lives, and you'd be honored and glorified by each thing that's said. And Lord, that we indeed would look at the circumstances of our life and the things that you've brought our way. And Lord, we would say with David that we hope in the Lord. We want to have the courage and the strength that you give in these circumstances because our hope is all in you. Bless now as we look at your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We said as we began this psalm that the psalm was probably written. It doesn't tell us in the title when it was written, but most Bible scholars believe this was written during the time of Absalom's rebellion. The time when Absalom had been exiled for a time, he came back. And Joab brought him back, and David said that you could stay there, but I really don't want you in the palace. And so Absalom decided he was going to turn the hearts of the people to him away from David. So he sat in the gate of the city of Jerusalem, and people came by, and he basically said, "Well, you know what, David's really too busy to hear you and listen to your problems, but I'll listen to you. I'll listen to your problem, and I will help you with your problem because the king is too busy and he's too important. Your little matters aren't really important to him, and so I'm going to help you out because the king doesn't care." It's basically what he was saying. Went from there to the time that Absalom overthrew David. David was driven from Jerusalem. He was cursed. A man named Shimei threw stones at him. He was driven out across the brook Kidron and off into the wilderness. And there he awaited the time that he could return. It's in the Kings or Chronicles, one of those two places. It says, the thought, I don't remember exactly, "Why have you no thought of bringing back the king?" Bringing King David back to his place. I thought someday I'm going to preach a message on that one time. Bringing back the king to our lives. Bringing back the king to his throne in our hearts. Because I'm afraid we, like Absalom sometimes, exile Jesus Christ from the thrones in our heart to someplace else. Say you don't deserve to be there. But that's another message. We know it ended tragically. Absalom was riding, and he had great, big, long, thick hair and got caught in the branches of a tree. Was killed. Contrary to David's orders, David said, don't kill me, son. And David cried, "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And David pens these words. In the first few verses, we see David's plea in the time of trouble. We read down through verses 1 through 4. "So in the Lord do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of my defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength." David pled to the Lord in time of trouble, but then David had a plan. His plan was from God. It wasn't something he dreamed up himself, but look at verse 5 through 8. David says, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trusted in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. And it's not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room." David said, I have a plan. Basically, the plan is to commit himself into the keeping and trust of the Lord. But having said all that, in verses 10 through 13, we see that David's condition in the time of trouble. Let me say this, that often we, in the time of trouble, we perceive our condition, and sometimes it's not really as bad as we think it is. Now, it's how we feel. There's an old saying, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. That's true. But if I feel that way, that's what's affecting me. Sometimes I feel like somebody's angry with me. It affects me. They might not, in fact, really be angry with me. Could be I misconstrued something they said or the way they looked at me or think maybe they avoided me or didn't want to talk to me or something. But I feel like they're angry with me, and that's a real feeling. Don't discount people's feelings. Now, we shouldn't act on feelings, okay? We act on fact. We act on truth. But our feelings are real. Our feelings affect us. And here, David, notice what David said in verse 10. He says, my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. My bones are consumed. Now, David is a man after God's own heart, Scripture tells us. David saw some of the greatest victories in Israel that were seen through the whole history of the nation. His victories over the Philistines, his victory in taking the Jebusite city of Jerusalem, his victory in building the great palaces and government buildings there, his victory in being able to prepare for Solomon to build the temple there in the city. He's had great victories in his life. But those past victories, in the time now of trouble, in the time of when his son rebelled against him and drove him out of the city, in the time when his son is killed for his rebellion, they seem kind of empty because he's overwhelmed with grief and sighing. He says, my strength faileth me because of my iniquity, my bones are consumed. He says in verse 11, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. He covers everybody in that state. He says, I was a reproach to my enemies. They didn't want anything to do. They looked at me, they were disgusted. And I understand now, this is how David feels about things. Poetry often has to do with feelings, not with reality. David said, I feel like my enemies, I'm a reproach, I'm disgusting to my enemies, but not only that, to my neighbors. Those that I've walked alongside, those that I've eaten with, those that I've fellowshiped with, I'm disgusting to them. He says, I'm a fear to mine acquaintance, those that I know are afraid of me. Those that did see me fled from me. It's almost as though David is looking and says, I have leprosy. And those that see me look and they're afraid at the leprosy. And they're afraid that if they come in contact with me, that they'll become infected with the leprosy and they too will be subject to this terrible disease. And so they flee from me. They stay away from me. I'm a reproach to them. I'm disgusting to them. I should be as a leper that walks out crying and caring, saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. So that people stay away from me. Verse 12. He said, I'm forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. He says, when people see me, they're disgusted. And they forget all about me. It's like I never existed. It's like I'm a clay pot that was used for years to go to the well and to get water and bring it back. And one day coming back from the well, the lady was carrying the pot. She slipped and she stumbled and the pot broke and it fell on the rocks and the clay shattered on the rocks and the water was all. And she went on and she didn't even bother to pick up the pieces because it had no value. So that's the way I feel. She left the pieces laying on the rocks because they had no value at all. I'm like a broken vessel. Verse 13, for I've heard the slander of many, fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. He said, not only am I disgusting, not only is it like I'm a dead man, a broken vessel that has no value, but they're plotting against me. They're doing this just to attack me. They slander me. Fear, I'm on every side. They counsel together again. They devise to take away my life. Now indeed, that was Absalom's desire, was that David might be dead and that he would ascend to the throne. But he's ascribing that to everyone he meets. David said, this is a bad time. You know, I'm glad that when God wrote the Bible, that everything was not coming up roses all the time. That everybody didn't have a happy life and there was no problem, there was no difficulty. Everybody's children were healthy and happy and everybody's workplace was good and there was no enemies on the horizon and there was no sickness. You know, such a rosy picture that we could never associate with it. But the truth is that life has bumps. Roses have thorns. Whenever you get people, there are problems. You get one person and there's problems. You get two people, there are more problems. You get more than two people and problems begin to compound. Because people are people. Because we all have prejudices, we all have problems. And David looks, and we see that David is in such a state that he looks around and all he sees are the problems. All he sees are the difficulties. All he sees are, you know, Tim used to use the phrase, everything stinks. Story of an old fellow that lived on the street. Some kids causing trouble. They got some Limburger cheese. Anybody ever eaten Limburger cheese? I never have, but I understand it's quite strong. And so they found some Limburger cheese, and he's there sleeping away, and they rub some Limburger cheese in his mustache. And he woke up. This place stinks. He got up, and he walked down, he walked to the place where he usually got a cup of coffee, and he was getting a cup of coffee, he says, I'm not getting coffee in this place. This place stinks. And you walk around, and the whole town stinks. You know, usually it isn't the whole town that stinks. It's right under your nose. You see, we have to understand that circumstances are just that, circumstances. And David, and indeed, we don't want to discount the fact that David was in a very bad place at the time. I just can't imagine anything more to which would break a father's heart. Not just the being king but being king and having your own son rebel against you. Being a king and being driven from your palace. Being a king and Absalom there in the palace doing terrible things just to put it in your face, if you will, that he was there and he could do what he wanted. The armies of Absalom trying to destroy him. And then the son that he loves, because he did love Absalom, out in a military attack upon him and is killed. And his heart's broken. It was a dark place. It was. And I don't discount that sometimes we get to places that are dark places. that circumstances come around us, that there are problems, there are difficulties, there are trials, there are troubles. They're all about, that's a matter of fact. But in the midst of this, we see David's condition in the time of trouble. What a change between verse 13 and verse 14. Let me read verse 13 again. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. David said, yes, it's trouble. Yes, it's a dark place. Yes, there are problems, there are difficulties, there are trials. Yes, my heart is broken over my son Absalom. My heart is broken over those that I trusted in my government that have rebelled against me and are following after Absalom. My heart is broken. But in the midst of it, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Notice he goes on in verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. That word that begins verse 14, but. I thought as well preaching a message on that word. But. Think about the times you go through Scripture and you see this and this and this happened, but God was in the middle of it. This happened, I was disappointed, I was discouraged, but God strengthened my heart. I was angry, but God calmed my spirit. I was disappointed, but God gave me hope. But, David says the circumstances were bad. But, I trusted in the Lord. He says, God is my security. The Lord, Jehovah, is my God. Look at verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. You know, God is in control of the circumstances. The phrase, my times are in thy hand. The days, the minutes, the hours that pass, God is in control of those. God is working in all those circumstances. He says that, God, you are able to deliver me from the hands of those that persecute me. God, make your face to shine upon your servants. Save me for thy mercy's sake. He trusted in the mercies of God. He said, God, put shame where it belongs. Look at verse 17. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord. For I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Ashamed. He said, I don't want to feel shame. Say, God, I've trusted you. I've walked in your way. To the best of my ability, I have done the things that I should, that you might be pleased and honored and glorified. Lord, don't let me be ashamed. Remember, shame, being ashamed is a feeling. He says, but let those that deserve to be ashamed be ashamed. You know, sometimes we get ashamed about things that we think about other people when we find out the truth. Did you ever get angry at somebody and didn't even know who you were angry at? If you notice, there's a car probably still parked there, a little Honda, gray Honda parked over there in the parking lot. I was angry at him. Now, you don't think that I'd get angry, do you? I'm such a nice guy. But he'd come and just park his car there and leave it and walk away. I tried to find him, but it seemed like he'd sneak in and sneak out, and I'd never seen him. One day I was going to call a tow truck because he parks the car there. When Brother Alcott comes to plow the snow, if you got one car blocking the way, it takes another 15 or 20 minutes to plow the lot because it's in the way. I was not happy. And so I was going to call a tow truck. And I said, you know what? I'll be a good neighbor. Pat myself on the back. And so I went up and down the street in front, and I talked to every house that had, I knocked on the door. Does anybody here own a gray car that's in our church parking lot? They said, no. I said, well, it's there. And I said, it's getting a bad snow. I may have to get it towed. And one fellow said, tow it. Right thing to do. Get it out of there. On Friday, I saw the car pull up. Saw the guy get out. I got him. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. How dare he come and just park it? What's he think? There's a public parking area here? He can just park his car here anytime he wants and do what he wants. So I wanted to kind of spring it on him slow. Look, hi, how you doing today? He kind of looked at me a little shocked. I said, I'm wondering whose car this was parked here. He said, yeah. I said, I'm a little bit concerned. I said, it makes it kind of hard to plow snow when your car's in the way here. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I live out in Paradise, and I have to come in because I have to get a treatment at the hospital every few days, and I have to have general anesthetic to get the treatment. And he said, I can't drive for 24 hours after that. So I come in, and my daughter takes me to an appointment, brings me back, and then I have to stay at her house. He said, I was parking out down by the mailbox or something, I don't know where it was, but I kept getting tickets down there, and how many tickets I got, so I came and parked in your lot. And then I'm feeling about that big, you know. I'm sure you've never done this. I gave him a card and I said, well, you know, if something comes up, call me. Let me get your phone number because I don't want to have to tow your car off if it gets in the way or something. I don't want to plow it all full of snow. And so give me your number so that if it's in the way, I can call you and come move it up, move it to a different place in the lot or something, and invite him out to church. And, you know, why is it we come to conclusions about things and we don't have all the facts? We get angry and we don't have all the facts. Because I was not happy with him.
David said he trusted God. God says, put to silence those that lie about me. The lying lips be put to silence, verse 18. But then David ends this with a song. Started in a bad place. But listens to verse 19 down through verse 24. Oh, how great is thy good. Think about this. Think about where David has been. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest my voice, the voice of my supplications, when I cried unto thee. Now he speaks to us. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully, plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. God's goodness is to all those that trusted him. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God's goodness, verse 21 and 22, in spite of David's weakness. Even in the middle of this song of hope, David said, I was at fault. Look what he said. I said in my haste. Did you ever say anything hastily?
Somebody else? Did you ever say anything hastily to God? Did you ever say God in the middle of service, God, why don't you care? God, I'm having to, where are you? I'm in time of trouble. Where is this? Why aren't you here helping me? We do that sometimes, don't we? But God is always there. David understood this. Nevertheless, in verse 22, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. And he speaks to us. Oh, love the Lord. Be of good courage. What makes all the difference? All ye that hope in the Lord. Couple thoughts and I'm done. First, feelings are important. But what are the facts? We have to get beyond feelings sometimes to the facts of things. I say, I feel angry. I feel rejected. I feel like somebody is ignoring me. I feel like you don't care about what happened to me and you don't care about me in this circumstance. But what are the facts? Where's your security? Today, and we've talked about this before, that there is no security in this world. There is no security, even though the stock market is at 20,000 and reaching towards 21,000. There's not security in that. We very foolishly believe there's security in government. There's not security in society. All ye that hope in the Lord. Can you look beyond the situation and see the Savior? That's what David did. I don't think any of us have been in such a dark place as David was in this psalm. Maybe you have, I don't know. But David said, in this dark place, I'm going to look beyond the circumstances and know there's a Savior that loves me and cares for me, and my hope is in Him, even in these very, very difficult circumstances. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Their heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking.